Our scripture reading today comes from Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 to 16. So if you have your digital devices or your Bible handy, you can turn there and read along with me. The day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah all the good things I have promised them. In those days, and at that time, I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. In that day, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety, and this will be its name, the Lord is our righteousness. Pastor Will, please.
I woke up this morning thinking you had lots of time before you needed to start thinking about Christmas. Here you are, surrounded by Christmas decorations and people singing Christmas songs. Christmas is an exciting time for some, and it is a scary time for some, where if you are ready, then that will be made clear, and if you are not ready, obviously that too will be made clear. A little while ago, there was a court case in the U.S. A certain pizza company had made some claims in some of their advertisements that their pizza sauce was the best. Does it sound that out of the ordinary? But another pizza company said, well, you can't just say whatever you want in a commercial. Without proof, you can't say that yours is the best. And so you need to stop saying that yours is the best. And so there could have been a number of outcomes of this. There could have been a national taste test. That would have been great. A national contest to see who, in fact, was the best. But that's not how court cases work. The lawyers of the pizza company, the first one, defended themselves and said, well, this is what we do. This is simply, and I'll use the word they used, puffery. That this is what we do. We puff ourselves up in our commercials to make ourselves sound good, and nobody thinks it's anything other than puffery. Puffery, a new word in our vocabulary, perhaps. And the judge agreed that this is what happens in commercials, and that we don't need to totally defend every use of the word best. And so they got away with it. And it no longer matters if they said best, if they could back it up, or if they couldn't. We sometimes find ourselves looking at our old predictions of the future in a similar way. And are we speaking with confidence? Or are we using puffery? Right? Well, I didn't even know what that word was before. How can I be guilty of using puffery in my speech? Well, we use speech that makes us sound good. It makes our future sound good. And sometimes we believe it, and sometimes we know we are supposed to. So I've chosen an image here to communicate that. Some of you might be familiar with this movie. I personally love prison movies and war movies. I have no experience with either of them. And so for me to pretend that I can identify with any of the characters is fake, and maybe even that's my own kind of puffery to say that I get what they are going through. But in this movie, Shawshank Redemption, one of the characters sticks out in prison because he feels he doesn't belong there. He feels that he was wrongly convicted and he is innocent. And so he talks about not belonging there. He talks about getting out. And so the people around him, they worry. They worry that this man is filling himself with too much hope. That hope in the wrong context can destroy you rather than set you free. And this is one of his responses, that no, hope is a good thing. Maybe the best of things, and no good thing never dies. So where do we put our hope? The hope that we have, is it this kind of hope? Or do we have a hope that we just sort of know we're supposed to stay? Because in prison, apparently, because I have no experience, but apparently you find out pretty quickly what you are and what you are not supposed to say. And if you talk too much about freedom, if you talk too much about life outside, you might find yourself in trouble. You might find yourself on the opposite end of people who do not share the same sense of hope. Christmas and Advent are a time of hope. The passage that Aaron read for us today comes from the book of Jeremiah, and it talks to a people who had little hope. It talks to a people who had their land taken away. It talks to a people who had no independence, and their identity within their religion, within their relationship with God, was in question. But Jeremiah is talking about a time in the future. Jeremiah is speaking hopefully about a time where they will have this kind of leader. A leader who will do what is right and just in the land. Now, looking back, we see this, and we know that Jesus did just and right things in the land of Israel. And we know that his followers ever since have been trying to do what is just and right in our own lands, from time to time failing, and sometimes miserably. But we can look back and say, well, Jesus didn't institute an actual political kingdom, and perhaps people might be understandably upset that this particular part of the prophecy didn't come true. Because this is a political statement. And so was that puffery. Was Jeremiah participating in the same practice that the pizza company was? Is this puffery? Well, sometimes we participate in puffery. We talk flowery, we use colorful language that's more hopeful than we actually are. Because sometimes we have to speak it into being. We speak hopefully so that we will respond hopefully to our own words. So there's speaking about justice. There's also stories about justice as part of the political outcome of Jesus. Now, in terms of justice, there are two types of people. When justice is coming, there will be people who are afraid and people who are excited. Now, we are fortunate to live in a land where leadership transition happens peacefully. One government fades from power, another one takes its place, and business goes uninterrupted. Peace in society remains exactly the same as it was before. And simply, the only change many of us see is what the people on TV have to talk about. That isn't the case in a lot of places, and especially not throughout the history of the world. Right now, in the country of Myanmar, some of you support the work of Partners in Religion Development, Myanmar has gone through a democratic election. And the opposition party won the election. And the people of the country are wondering, what happens now? Is the military going to give them, allow them to have power? Will they have actual power, or will it only look like they have power? Will they maintain their democratic principles, or will the power that they get corrupt them? And so the people of Myanmar, otherwise known as Burma, are waiting. Will we see actual change? Will we see peace? Will we see justice? There are people in Burma who are excited about justice because it means that people who have done wrong might finally be punished. Lands that were taken away might actually be returned. Maybe. There are people who are excited about the prospect of justice because they have lost something. and they stand to gain it back. People who have become victims, they are thinking of the prospect of things turning around. People who have been oppressed are looking forward to getting some status back. The people who are excited about justice are the people who will be bumped up when equality is enforced. But of course, there are people on the other side. There are people who are afraid of justice. The people who have been oppressing the poor and the weak, they're afraid of justice because they will get back what they have given. Criminals are afraid of justice because the freedom that they have had to carry out harm no longer exists. Not only that, their freedom to walk the streets may no longer exist if they are called to answer for their crimes. And so the oppressors and the criminals are afraid of justice. At the end of the story of Jesus in the New Testament, we find Jesus sitting with his disciples and sharing a meal. And the disciples aren't entirely sure of what's going on. As some of them are talking about big and powerful things. Some of them aren't entirely sure what's going to happen. Jesus has talked about suffering being necessary, but perhaps that was really just puffery. Right? Maybe Jesus is only talking about the necessary process of being humble and not taking too much of a role for yourself. Maybe this is the suffering that Jesus is talking about. But as they would journey with Jesus towards the cross, they would realize the suffering that Jesus was talking about. And they might remember these words and wonder, what did they mean? So Jesus is talking about the weather changing and about political events unfolding and the world falling into chaos as a sign of the end, as a sign of Jesus coming back. But he uses these reassuring words. Now when these things begin to happen, stand up straight and raise your heads because your redemption is near. Your redemption. Redemption is similar to justice in the sense that there are some people who would be excited at the prospect of redemption, and there are people who are not excited, who are fearful of the prospect of redemption. But perhaps there are some people who say, well, redemption doesn't really apply to me. We live in an interesting time where if anytime you want to reflect on the past, you can. The internet allows us that. So if you are thinking about a movie that you watched 20, 30, 50 years ago, you can call it up. You can call up parts of it. One of those movies that I watched in the 80s, or maybe early 90s, involved a young man who worked at a shopping mall, and a young woman who got trapped there overnight. They had both just finished high school, and there's a whole lot of weird stuff that happens. But in their conversation, it's entirely clear that they are at opposite ends. The one is excited to be finished high school, and the one is dreadful of anything that comes next. And it's perfectly obvious as to why. The man was a reject in high school, had no friends, and the girl was quite popular. And now high school was over, and they were both at the same status. She had lost something, and he had gained something. He had experienced redemption at some level, and she had lost out in the process. Some of you might know what movie I'm talking about, but it paints a picture of what many of us experience at different times in our life. And so where do we fit in this picture? When the government changes here, we know that there will be some advantages to people who have who are aligned with the new party. And there will be some disadvantages to people who are aligned with the old party. So when Jesus is talking about redemption, when they're talking about justice, then we need to ask ourselves, where do we stand on this? If justice were to come, will we be lifted up or will we be pushed down? Where do we fit in this relationship? Redemption is a funny thing. We are hoping for it, or we don't know it exists. And if we don't know that redemption is a good thing, then we have found ourselves on the other side. Then we have put ourselves in a situation where we no longer need Jesus. The disciples had gathered around Jesus at the last meal, and they were excited for the power, for the prestige that they were about to experience when Jesus came into his position of prominence. They were going to be beside him. They were going to be part of the new kingdom. But then Jesus died. And Jesus died, and what was to be made of everything that Jesus said? All of those grand promises, all of the talk of being the Son of God, of being the Messiah, of bringing about a new kingdom, a new way of doing things. Was that puffery? Was that real? Was that just flowery talk? Well, we know that it wasn't, and they soon experienced something else. But from time to time, we put ourselves in their shoes. We join them at the table. We put ourselves in their shoes, not knowing exactly if you can sit at the table with Jesus and look forward excitedly to the arrival of his new kingdom, even if you don't understand what that means. This morning, we will share in the communion meal because we are excited about the arrival of justice. We are excited at the arrival of a new way of doing things because we have not placed our hope in the current way of doing things. We have not put our hope and our identity in the current party and power. We have aligned ourselves with the coming Messiah. And we share in this meal together, waiting, hoping expectantly for that moment to come, for that kingdom to be revealed. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Oh Lord, as we journey towards Christmas, as we wait expectantly for your arrival, we are excited at the prospect of justice. Lord, in this world, we are too often void of justice. Those who are guilty walk free. Those who have been victimized are never returned what they have lost. And so we cry out for justice. But we know, too, that there are those who are waiting for justice to come to us. And so we reflect on the wrong that we have done on this earth. We reflect on the wrong that we have done in our relationships, and we ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, when justice comes, let us be on the side that is lifted up. Let us walk with those who will be lifted up. Let us rejoice with the poor and the weak. Let us experience freedom as those who are being captive. For justice can only be a good thing if we have something that will be restored. And so, Lord, we ask that you would restore to us the joy of your salvation. Restore unto us who we are as your creation, your children. Lord, give us back what we deserve. And may we rejoice in the justice that is coming.